Why many financial advisors hate IUL, and why their criticism is partly valid. By Ryan Richardson, Lightstrats. Many advisors reject IUL because of commission incentives, bad products they've seen, and conflicted agent sales. Those criticisms are real, but they often confuse the product structure with how poorly it's usually sold. Separate the wheat from the chaff. Most financial advisors will tell you IUL is a bad product. Some even refuse to discuss it with clients. But here's what's worth understanding. They're not always wrong. They're just often fighting the wrong enemy. Yes, IUL gets abused. Yes, commissions distort who sells it and how. Yes, there are products that don't deliver on promises. But the structure itself, an indexed universal life policy that ties cash value growth to a market index, isn't the villain. The problem is usually in the execution. Why the skepticism is actually justified. The advisors who hate IUL aren't crazy. They've seen real damage. This happens not because the product is broken, but because agents are paid to overpromise. Clients are told it's a retirement tool when it's being sold primarily for commission, and the policies themselves are often structured poorly. First, there's the commission structure. A loaded IUL policy might generate 75 to 110% first-year commissions. By comparison, a fee-only advisor steering you toward index funds earns nothing on day one. That creates a perverse incentive. Sell high-commission products to people who don't need them, use complexity to obscure what's happening, and disappear before the policy underperforms. Fee-only advisors who refuse to discuss IUL have usually seen this cycle repeat. From their seat, it looks like a scam. From a client's seat who was sold one badly, it was a scam. The structural problem's worth acknowledging. Even a well-designed IUL has built-in friction that advisors legitimately point out. Participation rates and spreads eat your upside. If the S&P 500 returns 8% and your policy has a 70% participation rate, you're credited 5.6%. Your carrier keeps the rest. On a $200,000 cash value, that's $8,800 you don't see. Over 20 years, the compounding damage is staggering. Advisors who do the math walk away. Caps exist for a reason. Most IUL policies cap index-linked returns at 10 to 12% annually. That sounds fine until the market runs 15 to 20%, which it does every 10 years or so. Your policy gets none of that upside. An advisor pointing this out isn't wrong. They're pointing at a real structural trade-off. Complexity hides cost. A traditional universal life policy is easier to model and audit. An IUL's growth depends on factors like market volatility, option pricing, and spread timing that most clients and even some advisors don't fully understand. That opacity breeds suspicion, sometimes justified. What changes when IUL is done right? The advisors who've stopped hating IUL are usually the ones who've seen a policy designed and explained clearly. When IUL is built for a specific outcome, say $4,000 per month of tax-free income starting at 65, instead of, let's see what the market gives us, the incentives align. The agent has no reason to oversell because the target is modest and achievable. The policy structure tightens, higher participation rates, lower spreads, modest caps that still exceed the policy's internal cost ratio. The conversation shifts from, will this beat the S&P? It probably won't, to will this provide reliable income without depleting principal? Yes, that's buildable. This version still has critics. Some advisors will never accept permanent insurance as a retirement tool because they're philosophically committed to term plus investing. That's a legitimate framework. But their criticism of that version of IUL is usually about philosophy, not broken math. The version most advisors hate, the one overpromising 8% annual returns, sold to a 45-year-old with no clear use case, by an agent who clears out after the commission, deserves the hate. Data on IUL performance. Most of the skepticism traces to outcome studies. Policies sold 15 to 20 years ago have dramatically underperformed their illustrations because market returns have been lower than historical averages. Caps and spreads matter more than projected, and clients surrender policies when they underperform, crystallizing losses. Real evidence is hard to find because carriers don't publish policy performance transparently. What is clear? Policies designed for income with conservative growth assumptions tend to hold up better than those betting on equity-like returns. That's not controversial. It's math. Frequently asked questions. Why do so many advisors dismiss IUL entirely instead of distinguishing good from bad? Time and incentives. A fee-only advisor doesn't sell IUL, so learning to distinguish a bad policy from a solid performer takes work without payoff. It's easier to reject the category, but that also means some clients who could benefit never get the right option. If IUL is so much better now, why don't agents talk about the bad ones? Because they all benefit from the halo of overpromising. An agent selling an honest IUL still competes against agents selling fantasy, and the fantasy sells. Bad incentives win. Can I just ignore IUL and use term insurance plus index funds instead? Probably fine if you're disciplined and your income is reliable. The advantage of IUL isn't investment returns. It's tax-free access to cash value and the structure holding you accountable to a plan. If you already invest index funds consistently for 30 years, you might not need it. Most people don't have that discipline. How do I find an advisor who understands IUL without being paid to oversell it? Look for someone fee-only or fee-based who will discuss IUL alongside other tools. They should model three scenarios: conservative, realistic, and best case. If they dismiss IUL entirely, ask why. If they dismiss it because they've only seen bad ones, that's honest. Why are participation rates and spreads so high if the product is supposed to be good? The carrier has to finance the downside protection. You never lose principal to market declines. The cost of managing the options that create upside and the agent's commission. That has to come from somewhere. The question isn't whether there's a cost. It's whether the cost is transparent and the benefit is real. Both things are real. Advisors have seen real damage from poorly structured and oversold IUL. And there are IUL products that work exactly as designed when you build them right. The gap between the two is where most of the conflict lives. Knowing the difference is what separates a tool from a trap. Learn how to structure IUL for actual income and wealth building. Book a strategy call with the LightStrats team. This has been a LightStrats article, narrated. To talk through how any of this applies to your own money, book a strategy call at LightStrats.com.